Amen, amen. My soul says yes. Not saying yes to the things that are in the world. It's saying yes to the things that be of God. It's saying yes to God. Yes, I'm going to trust God. Yes, I'm going to obey God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you said it, yes. Amen. Amen. Greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of this internet radio. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, with my Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, I'm coming to you live this evening. This is not a recording unless you're listening to it other than this day. But nevertheless, we're coming to you hopefully to share some inspirational thoughts in helping you have a better life. Amen, somebody. Amen. We had a wonderful program on yesterday in the Six Eyes Gospel Show where you get your praise on without leaving the house. We had some wonderful times there, and we're going to have a wonderful time this evening. That's right. We are going to have a wonderful time. I got some music coming for you. Stay tuned. We got testimony coming. That's right, testimony. I'm one of them old-fashioned preachers. I believe in testimony. Also believe in water baptism and foot washing. Amen. We'll talk about that some other day. But as for right now, Yolanda says, I'm going to be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for the things in life? Are you mentally and physically ready? Let's see. Thank you, Yolanda. Amen. I'm going to be ready. You know, personal development is a choice. And so development is a personal choice. I guess I should say it that way. Development is a personal choice. In life, no matter what our age is, wherever our background is, our development, our personal development is our personal choice. God loves us all the same, and he makes certain things are available for all of us according to his will for our lives. But what really makes us able to access those things is our willingness to go through the process of development. Amen. Amen. You didn't leave your children in the house by themselves when they was 1 and 2 years old because you knew that once you come back, especially if they toddlers and able to run around the house, that when you come back, everything going to be turned over. Stuff going to happen all kinds of ways. So you had to wait till they was at a certain age of understanding and responsibility, and you didn't leave them long. You only left them for a short period of time testing to see whether or not they learned what you gave them. Well, the good Lord gives us things to do and give us understanding to have, and he tests us. He allows us to go through tests from time to time to see if we are learning how to manage his kingdom. Amen. That's why James said, consider it all joy when you fall, into divers temptation. Amen. And so we count it joy when things happen. It tries to see if we're developed. That's right. If some things happen to us to see, have we learned the lesson? Did we grow? Did we develop? Have we matured? Amen, somebody. And just like going to school, oftentimes the teacher or the examiner give you an exam, a quiz, to see are you maintaining the information that's been given. Amen. And that's all of our challenges in this world. I'm going to pause for a moment to open up the mics. I see several people on the line today. I want to just say good evening to you. Amen, wherever you may be. It's evening time here, definitely, at night. And so I want to say hello. God bless you. Welcome to the program on today. I pray all is well with you. We're going straight into our testimony service. I got a little song that I like to sing sometimes.
Hello, Dan.
And it says, I believe I testify.
While I have a chance.
So I may not have a chance anymore. Amen. Thank you for my background singers. All right. Come on. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn to tell something good that God has given you.
Hey, Dan.
How you doing? Sister Emily, God bless you. You got a testimony?
Yeah, I'm thankful for Missionary Ken today because God put him there to keep my little hot temper in check today.
Thank God for good friends. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for good pastors, too.
Well, it's you. Thank God for that also. Amen. I truly have some good pastors in my life. Some good mentors in my life that have taught me how to mentor others and how to represent the kingdom of God the right way. And preferably, I am passing on that information to all of those that are following and listening to me. Amen. Anyone else got a testimony? Amen. Amen. The testimony is simple. It's for you just to say how appreciative you are of what God has done.
Now I want to praise the Lord for how
somebody's
he's still helping
echoing.
My sweet Kenny, and praise the Lord for that.
Sister Ruth, would you please repeat your testimony? We have just a little interference, but that's all right. Come on, repeat it
one
more time.
Yeah, our phone's been acting funny, too. But, yeah, dear Lord, we thank you also for the fact that Kenny's been doing well at his doctor appointment today, and Lord, give the right people to help him. I really think he's going to be fine. I just have all the faith that he's going to be taken care of.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for Ken. Amen. For our listeners that may not know, he had a health issue the previous weekend, but God has brought him through. He is still in the land of the living. He's still here with us, and we're thankful to the good Lord that he saw fit not to call him home yet. Amen. That he can still work on this battlefield of the Lord with us all. Amen. Amen. Anyone
I want to
else?
Save my testimony to the end, so I'm going to let everybody else testify before I give mine, because mine kind of has a spiritual message with it. All right?
Okay, if you say so. Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? Three times?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I also got to be thankful for my dear stepdad, even though I blew up at him at the wrong time and for the wrong reason, he didn't get angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got home with what I thought happened, I had to apologize to him and admit that I was wrong. Because what he had given me in the car today, asked me to do something for him, I reached in the wrong pocket to get it and thought I left it in the car.
Oh.
So I had to be the woman to admit I was wrong and ask him to forgive me because I made the mistake and not him.
Amen. And thank God for being able to admit. I think that's another level of maturity when we are able to admit to someone, hey, I made a mistake. I was wrong, incorrect, and I apologize. Please forgive me. I think it's so important for us as believers, as born-again believers, to say that, even to our children if need be. Because sometimes we're not always right with our actions or our statement. And so when we do something that can hurt someone, offend someone, there's nothing wrong with going back and saying, hey, I apologize. It was my mistake. It was my misunderstanding, my error. And to keep things going, when the scripture says, as much as life within you, to live peaceable with all men. And you have to have it in you for peace so that you can be peaceful. That kind of goes along with what I'm going to talk about to this evening. And we'll come back to it. Missionary Ken, the ball is in your court. Go ahead and do it.
Amen. All right. Well, okay. See, I'm not afraid to say what exactly the illness I had, because it wasn't your ordinary. See, I had this heart attack, but it wasn't your ordinary heart attack where it was come from straight cholesterol or something like that to cause my heart to clog up. And no. It's actually a series of things that happened over several years that caused my heart to have a heart attack. It started with a stomach virus called H. pylori, and that caused my body not to get the nutrients into my bloodstream like iron and stuff, which then caused my blood levels to drop, the what they call the hemoglobin levels. And with that made stress on my heart, which gave me the heart attack. Now, here's the spiritual lesson, okay? It's not so much the health issue that I want to bring out. I'm glad to be here. Here's the spiritual lesson, how that little sin sometimes gets in our life, like that little gossip, that little white lie that we want to tell or whatever, and it snowballs over years until it gets out of control, and then here you are having to apologize and get right with God for a big thing, get right with your fellow man for a big thing when you should have gotten it right when you had that little thing.
Mm.
Big lesson there, because that little thing that I had in my stomach issue that I didn't even know was there ended up with a big thing. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual. We get that little thing. Oh, well, that ain't going to bother me. That ain't going to bother nobody else. But it ends up that it turns into a big thing, and it hurts a lot of people. So a little lesson that we could take home from what happened to me, get rid of those little things today before they become big things tomorrow. Amen.
Amen. Kind of remind me, Missionary Ken, of a slide or avalanche. Usually those things can start by something that's so little, a small rock hitting a certain stress point in the mountain, just the right amount of snow sliding, hitting another stress point in the mountain, and before you know it, a small thing become a very big thing. They call it the snowball effect. And it starts all small, and it graduates to something bigger. So what you don't know sometimes can hurt you. And that's why it's important not to put off tomorrow what you can do today. Taking care of our bodies to the best of our knowledge and ability is a responsibility of the mature individual, not just Christian, the mature person. We should all want to live to fulfill our life calling. Do you have kids? Do you have a spouse? Do you have a business, a career? Are you an uncle or auntie? Then most likely, without a doubt, someone is depending on you to do something that will affect positive change in their lives. Someone is in need, whether they're dependent or not. They're in need of something from you so that they can make it to their next level. So it's very important for us not to be single-minded. So it's another way of just saying selfish. I understand that at times we get trapped or caught up in self. Yeah, after a long day of work, and when I come home, I don't want no phone calls. I don't want to talk to nobody. Truly, all I want to do is look at the direction of the TV, and the TV do what it's doing back towards me as I fall off to sleep. And so I'm not alone in that. Some people may get into a good book. whatever their particular getaway is. There's nothing wrong with having me time. I think you should take good care of yourself. I think it's healthy to entertain yourself and to make sure you are happy, because if you're not happy, how can you really help others to be happy? If you're miserable about who you are, how do you really expect people to accept who you are? All of us want to be accepted, so that must start with accepting myself first. So we must accept ourselves first so that others are able to accept us. You know, so that's just food for thought. We're going on with another song. We'll be back to you in just a few moments.
Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no. Will I ever leave you? Will I do your will? wonder when Christ is coming. The answer is real soon.
Never said a key. Now the questions are, will I believe you? Will I do your will? And will I see the return? No, 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 no. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's coming soon.
The answer is soon. He's coming soon. When that is, soon. We're just going to be ready. We're just going to be ready already. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be ready. I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to get into this conversation, and I want to give you some scriptures to go along with the things that I'm going to discuss. I'm going to do it in reverse order. I talked about this on yesterday, and it's still in my spirit to revisit it once again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dial it down so that I may be able to discuss it step by step as we go forward. Amen. And at some point, I got seven tips, and I'll probably give three of them. And then ask a few questions or give you an opportunity to ask a couple questions concerning the ones that had been covered. And then I'm going to go forward and give the rest of them, and then we'll ask the questions again on those next few points. So you need pencil, tablet, smartphone, paper, some way you can record, take notes, because this designed to bless you. Amen. So, first of all, let's get into the word. Let's just see if we move forward. Okay. Now, my central thought is primarily around the Apostle Paul's statement. The Apostle Paul made a statement in 2 Timothy. His statement to Timothy was, I have fought a good fight. Okay? But as I was praying about what to share with God's people, that thought came to me, and when I went to look it up on my smartphone, instead of me turning to 2 Timothy 4 and 7, where it is found, my phone went to 2 Timothy 4 and 5. I tried to go to 4 and 7 again in the New Living Translation, because I wanted to read it from that perspective. Still went to 2 Timothy 4 and 5. I tried it once again, and if the screen blinked and still went back to 5, I simply said, okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. I guess this is what you are wanting your people to hear. Because I prayed prior to, Lord, what is it that you will have me to share? And so we're still in this month. We're talking about personal development is our choice, okay? So part of that development is dealing with learning how to fight, learning what to fight for or why to fight. So the whole process of fighting, yes, this is a Christian program, and we are talking about fighting. Yes, 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 we're talking about fighting. But we're not talking about fighting with physical weapons like swords and bow and arrows and slingshots and guns. Knives and other things, bats and whatever weapons you can come up with. No, we're not talking about that, because we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, pulling down a stronghold. So, but before we go there, we're going to stick with the topic. So before we get to 2 Timothy, let's take a moment and visit 1 Timothy, okay? 1 Timothy, and please follow with me in your Bibles. And once again, I will be reading the New Living Translation. For all my King James Version lovers, forgive me, but I want to read it from this perspective today, okay? And hopefully you are able to follow along with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We see here in the text, it says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Now, so that I don't make all my King James Version readers totally ignore it, King James says these words. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's what King James said. But the New Living repeats that as this. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared so well before witnesses. So have you called yourself a Christian? Have you called yourself a born-again believer of Christ? Then there's a process for us to hold on to. There's some things that we are to maintain and develop. So he starts verse 12 off with, which regardless to what translation you use, the word fight, F-I-G-H-T. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Oftentimes we're fighting, but we're not sure what we're fighting for. Many times we're fighting to try to prove to someone else we're right and they're wrong. And many times we're fighting because we are offended, and that offense have put up a defense, and we move in a behavior that no longer considers that person's feelings or emotions Because what we are feeling at the moment and our emotional state have so overcome us till we don't want that feeling, or we want the person to feel as worse or as bad as we feel at that moment. So we fight. We fight with negative words. We fight with profanity. We fight with put down and even intimidation. And that's not the behavior that born-again believers should have. So it's not one that is the physical realm. Our fight first begins with the spiritual realm because it is one of faith. So, once again, fight the good fight of faith. The New Living said, fight the good fight for the true faith. Wow. I like the emphasis there that it put on true, excuse me, because many people have faith in evolution. People have faith in Scientology, science, people. People have faith in all kinds of things, but those are not the things that we are to develop our faith from. Or develop our faith in. My faith should be developed in God and the things of God. Yes, it's all right to trust people, but ultimately our trust must still be on Almighty God, because people are just that. They are finite. We are capable of mistake. We're capable of error. As one testimony this evening said, I thought it was in one side, and when I reached for it, I didn't have it, so I thought that it didn't happen this way. And going, before you know it, now there's an attitude that has developed, because there was not first action of faith in God, but a dependent on the individual. And so the first action was a reaction, not a proaction. And many of us get in trouble because we react to things, and we react to them without considering all things. So we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Okay? Now, I've laid that foundation of that's the direction that we're coming on. I have a question today that I want to ask you, and I'm going to allow you to answer this because I want you to vocalize this, your statement concerning the question. The question is there a difference between the word best, B-E-S-T, and the word all? A-L-L. Is there a difference? Many people have stated, I've done my best. The question is, but was it their all? And some have said, I've done my all. But the question remains, was it truly their best? They gave it all, but was it their best? And I know it's a seem like there's a play on words. But after your responses, I'm going to come back. I will come back, and I will share with you a foundational thought. Now, if you heard me yesterday, you heard some of that already. I'm going to open up the mics to those of you that may at this time want to respond to that. You may just answer the question to you, what do it mean to do your best? What does it mean to do your all? Is there a difference? How do you feel about the words all and best? The lines are open.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. God bless you, woman of God.
How you doing? How's everybody?
Everybody.
I believe that there is a difference. I believe that there is a difference with giving your all and giving what you feel is your best.
Okay.
At that time.
Would you like to elaborate just a little bit more?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that when you think of the word your best, it has a competitive nature to it. And your best at something could be in comparison to who's around you. Whereas when you give your all to something, you're not in competition with anyone. You're giving your all for yourself.
Okay. I like that response. I like that response. That's good. That's good. Amen. Thank you so very much. Amen. Do I have another that would like to voice their opinion or their belief concerning is there a difference between the word all and the word best? Okay. Going once. Going twice. Three times. All right. We're going to turn the mics off for a moment. And I want to give my example of all and best. Much similar to the response that we had from, I didn't ask your name. I apologize. I should have asked your first name. Do I still have your mic open?
Yes. It's Rochelle. How you doing?
All right. You say Rochelle?
Yes.
All right. Miss Rochelle. Thank you so very much for that comment. Best is in your mind, and all is in your body. Here's my example of the comparison. Most of us that have children or can recall back to the days of our childhood, the times that we have taken exams or gone to school and we brought home or our children brought home a grade less than perfect. Okay? So the test was to 100, whether it was 20 questions, 50 questions, 25 questions, whatever. And the goal for the student was to get all of it right. Well, many times in school, especially during the English assignment, a spelling test, you were in the beginning of the week, Monday, receive the words to study for the week, that the exam will come on Friday. And every now and then, certain teachers would do what's called a pop quiz to see if you are studying by doing the homework on a daily basis, or are you waiting to the end of the week to try to cram it all in? So they would pop quiz would come up, and they would ask prior to it, have y'all been studying your work? And for the most part, the class would say, yes, everybody will agree. Whether it's true or not is another matter. But everybody would say, yes, I studied. Yes, I've done my work. And so they said, good, pop quiz. Put your books away. Get a piece of paper, pen, pencil. Write your name on it. Let's begin. Put today's date on it. Let's go. And they would call out those words. And you would get that back, and they would tell you, now I want you to take it home so that your parent can see it and find it and return it back. And you would take that paper home, and your parent already know who you are. And for the most part, especially parents that are attentive to their children, that are active and involved in their study lives and their education, they know the potential of that child. And say on this day you brought home a 75. But you got to let your parents see it because they have to sign it so you can return it. So now you're standing before your mom or your dad, and you have this paper that have a grade of 75, and you are a honor roll student. Your parent going to say, how do you think that they're going to receive that grade? For the most parents will not accept that grade. They will be disappointed with your grade. And I can hear the child like mine say, but I gave it my all. And that may be true, that at that moment, all that they knew, they put into it. But because they were not studying prior to, they all did not measure up to be their best. Because this student is capable of 90 plus. This student is actually capable of getting 100. History has shown this child to be able to meet the challenge. But this moment, they failed. In our Christian journey, we are faced weekly, sometimes daily, monthly, with those type of situations. The Word of God says for us, hear me well, it says, study to show yourself approval unto God. So, going to church on Sunday morning or participating in a once-a-week activity and thinking that we are able to meet the grade we're going to keep falling short. Because it says, study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman, applied effort, needing not to be ashamed. So you shouldn't be ashamed to tell somebody, you know, I would watch that with you, but I didn't study my Bible earlier, and I need to put in some time with the Lord. We should not be ashamed to say, you know, here's some of the responses we get. I know the Bible. I done read the Bible. I done read it from Genesis to Revelation. Well, I've been preaching for 27 years. I grew up in the church. And as much as I may know, I still don't know what I need to know. There are times where certain information don't just stay with us. Why they have in the natural world what's called refresher courses. Why? Because sometimes we need to be reminded. And so even in your craftsmanship, I still have it, but I don't drive it now. Years ago when I purchased my Chrysler 300 and I didn't purchase it from a Chrysler dealer, so I didn't want to take it back when I had other issues, I wanted to take it to someone that, to a Chrysler place that was certified to work on it. But I found a mechanic who was a certified Chrysler mechanic. How do I know? Because every 2 years, Chrysler would invite him to their update meetings so that he would stay update to all their changes and development in their Chrysler cars. So there were certain things that happened to the car. He said, well, I know. I said, well, I took it. And one time I took it somewhere, and I said, nah, y'all don't know what y'all doing. Let me take it, find somebody else. And he said they wouldn't know because this is something Chrysler did. And the only way they would have known is to have been a part of the class or be one of Chrysler's personal mechanics, engineers. So there's certain things that even though you may have this certain knowledge, but if you're not constantly in it, then you don't know what to do when it changes. So you might be giving your all, but your all may not be your best if you are not studying and keeping up. You know why Mike Tyson lost his fight with Buster Douglas? Buster Douglas came in and he had studied Mike Tyson. He had studied Mike Tyson's fight and techniques. And at this time, Mike Tyson was knocking everybody out. He was unstoppable. But that night, something was off with him. And he came in and he gave it his all, but he wasn't at his best. We was wondering, if you watched the fight, why he wasn't as aggressive as he normally were. And so an underdog who came in and gave it his best, along with his all, won a fight that shocked everybody. Because learning to give your all and your best is a process of development. We have to choose how to fight. So let me give you 7 steps on making good choices for battle or for a fight. Because we should only fight for what matters. That's a statement. We should only fight for what matters. Fighting for without a cause is foolishness. Fighting without a cause is reckless. Fighting without a cause never produces winning attitudes. So how can I properly choose the right battles to fight? Number one, the first thing we need to do is, before we fight duration, evaluate the problem. Evaluating the problem is us taking a stand and looking with non-biased eyes. It's hard to look at something with a non-biased eyes if you have already condemned it in your mind. If I already perceive you as a bad person, then my mind will not see you as a potential friend. So my mind won't allow me to produce the information that will bring us together, because I see you as an enemy because of our difference. Struggles in this world, especially racial struggles, are because we look at one another with different eyes, and many times we forget that all of us are just still flesh and blood. Whether we are short, tall, dark, light, round, slender, we're still human. We still bleed. And while we're alive, we still have a pulse. So in choosing to fight, let me properly, and I use the word properly, evaluate the problem. Somebody came yelling at me before I get in a, excuse the term, pissing match with them, scream back and forth. Somebody needs to stop and consider what's really going on. And in problem solving and conflict resolution, the first step is always to stop. So in this, I need to apply that problem solving and conflict resolution step number one, and that's to stop. Just stop. The easiest thing to do is often the hardest thing to do, and that's just to self-control. Stop. So if we stop, if we take a moment and truly evaluate our problem, we can come up with a better solution. Now, so when we evaluate the problem, another step to consider is to do a cost-benefit analysis. Amen. A cost-benefit analysis. In other words, I engage with this person in this argument? Why am I doing it? For what purpose will it be done? And what will be the outcome if I win or lose? Being I'm at work, and let me pause right there. I'm going to put a pin right there because, thank you, Holy Spirit, I have a perfect exam. This happened. I have a little part-time job that I do, usually everyone that comes in through the temp service, because I have a format of how I do things, the foreman, the warehouse manager always send them to me to give them instructions, what to do, how to do, so on and so forth. And so this young man was sent over, and I gave him an assignment and all of that, and he was doing what he was supposed to do. And our night was going as well as it normally do. And so when we got to the portion where the job, second phase of our job, one of the other team members said to him, come on, let's do this and this. And out the blue, he just went off, just completely ballistic. And at the time I heard it, all I heard was, nobody greater than God. Nobody greater than God. And everything else, I have to bleep it if I repeat it. And so at this time, the warehouse manager and myself, we are walking towards this confusion. And I'm telling him, you just come on over here with me. Whatever that is, let it go. Come on, come on. And so instead of him just letting it go and coming to me or coming to the warehouse manager that came over towards me, the guy went the walking bike towards the other team member. And in an aggressive manner, the whole time, the team member is not saying anything. And when the question was asked, what happened to that? I'll just say it and repeated what was, and I said, well, okay, you done said your piece, let it go. You got the right one now. You got the right one. And just went off again. Yeah, I've been a manager for many, many years, and at the point of insubordination, when a person becomes irate and uncontrollable, it is always best to send them away. But the warehouse manager said, "Now you come with me," and gave him a different assignment. That's what we thought. Everything, okay, done blowed over. We done said to him, hey, man, you done said the piece. Let it go. Whatever it was, it ain't worth it. Keep it. Let's keep it moving. And later on, he did it again. Sad thing about this is at this time we have our other vendors in there, our drivers, and he's walking and making statement in a proud position, and he's behaving as this is normal or all right. He didn't do a cost benefit. He didn't evaluate the situation. He was going for a win-lose, which is number three, and not a win-win. And at that point, he was told to go ahead, get your stuff. Thank you, but no thank you. You're dismissed. because he didn't weigh the cost. How many of us have destroyed marriages, relationships, family, careers, all because we wouldn't temper that tongue? All because we wouldn't maintain self-control. Many of our situations can be resolved if we truly did a cost-benefit analysis. Is it worth it? You know? I'm fussing at the police officer who pulled me over because I'm late for work, and he said I ran the light. I'm trying to tell him I did. Hush. We have to do that cost-benefit analysis because we don't know aggravating the other person can do. True story, not an exaggeration. Years ago, I worked for a company called Walgreens and as a manager, and one of the things that we had an understanding on that certain patients on certain medications are to be handled, as they say, with kids' gloves. We had a guy that had Tourette syndrome, and whenever he was out of his medication, he never had to wait. If he came, and I don't care what was going on, because he had a severe case of it. And he would be cussing you out and apologizing at the same time. So, but it would be, if he was out that medicine, it would be worse. This happened in a different state. The technician got mouthy with the customers. The young lady got out the line, walked to the car, got her gun, came back and shot the technician. Now, we don't advocate violence. But had the young lady considered, listen, you're a professional. It's your job to serve. And it's not your job to tell somebody off from the behind the counter. Because you never know who woke up with the attitude, I wish a person would. There's another word go there other than person, but we're not going to say that on this station. But they woke up with that attitude. I wish somebody would. Today is the last day. And we've seen countless things on the news where people have just gone off. All because somebody didn't do a cost-benefit analysis and offended them too far. Now, that's not to put fear in us. That's to put wisdom in us. Because if we're to live peaceably with all people, we must understand that sometimes the way we handle people can diffuse a bad situation, potential bad situation, excuse me. So number three on that, and then I'm going to open up the line, is so after doing a cost-benefit analysis, we must have in mind that we're going for the win-win. That means I want to win and I want you to win. In other words, we're trying to find something that will benefit both of us and not leave one feeling worse than the other. Okay? Not going for the lose-lose. Now, I'm opening up the mics just in case someone have a question or comment concerning that evaluation of problem, do a cost-benefit analysis, and go for the win-win, not win-lose. Any comments? All the lines are open.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am. Come on, Sister Emily.
It's like this. That would be like with the situation that I gave him my testimony. Instead of me opening my big mouth and blowing up the way I did earlier. I should have taken the time and checked my other pocket instead of just going out to the car and blowing my big mouth off at Dad.
Amen. Amen.
I should have took the time and said, hey, let me see if it's in my other pocket here. Instead of just flipping out and not looking carefully at the two cards.
Amen. That's a good point. Anyone else? Anybody have a question in this line of teaching that I'm doing right now? And any questions? Any comments?
Yeah, I agree with
that. Dad, I just got one comment for you.
Okay. Then we're going to let Sister Ruth go ahead. Because she had a problem.
Them hurt.
Put what?
Quit throwing bricks. They hurt.
Okay. We're not throwing bricks. We're building houses. Amen. Amen. Sister Ruth, I think I heard your voice. What do you have to say? Woman of God.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking how I've blown off the handle myself before and done some damage that you wouldn't believe. And, you know, be angry and sin not, wherever that is. And there's some other stuff you brought up before. And I do have a problem that I need to, I actually seeing a Christian counselor. So it's something that I have to work on. I mean, I just get, you know, angry. And the Lord can help me with that. I've been saved for about 40 years, but that don't mean I'm perfect. Long from it. So.
Amen.
You know, I just.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Amen. That's not an easy thing to say, you know. But the Lord can work on us, and he will if we let him. That's why he said, let patience have her perfect work, that it may prove. So the proof is in, it comes after you allow patience to work on us. Amen. Anyone else before I close the lines and move forward with the other four tips? All right. Step number four, or tip number four, in choosing your battles. Again, I'm going to just repeat the first three. Evaluate the problem. Do a cost-benefit analysis. That cost-benefit analysis, the parallel statement that goes with that is make a plan. Okay. Don't just go into something half-cocked without a plan. Okay. And so go for the win-win, not the win-lose. In relationship, let us consider all of us winning. Because you think about what happened to Jesus in the night that he was betrayed. You had one soldier that smoked him on the side and his face, pulled his beard, all kinds of stuff they were doing to him, and saying to him, prophesy, who touched, who did this to you? Who did, you know, just being cruel. Now, he just prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass me by. But nevertheless, not as I will, thy will be done. And I think just possibly if he wasn't making that decree, that when the person hit him, he might have would have said, listen, I'm going down the cross because that's what the Lord told me, but you ain't going to live. you being too extra. You know, there's some things that he could have made the man hand wither up you know, for touching him. You know, he God in the flesh. So, but because he was thinking of the win-win, he did allow the action of that person take him from his set assignment. Challenge all of ours is to not allow the actions of others detour us from doing all, or there they go that word again, that God sent us to do to our very best ability. Once again, all is in your body. So with my whole being, I'm to do what God told me to do. And my best is when I put my mind on fulfilling his will, not mine, with the knowledge that he has given me. Have you ever done something and you were so glad that you got done with it, and moments later after you finish, you look back and you say, you know, I could have done better. Now, prior to that, you felt that you were giving it to all. You were doing your very best, but hindsight, they say, is 20/20. Looking back at what you've done, you like you begin to critique, especially if you're painting or doing some type of sculpture, molding, a clay figure, anything. You go back, you're like, I guess I could have. And you begin to reexamine what you thought was your best. We do it to ourselves at times. And all I'm saying to us today, God bless you, Brother Charles, all I'm saying to us today is that the challenge is to give God our whole body. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." And we're to love him with our, and it goes into detail, our everything, our body, mind, and spirit. So God is to be loved with both our body, our mind, and our spirit. That means he gives our best and our all. And that in itself is a process through development. Been preaching a long time, and it would be easy for me to preach like I preached when I first started. Give you a 5-10 minute message and sit down. But that is not my best. And it's certainly not my all. You think about the length of this conversation and the amount of information I'm giving, that is not from someone who is not putting forth the effort to give more. So what we do when we do. Amen. Going back to it, once again, evaluate the problem, do a cost-benefit analysis. Go for the win-win, not the win-lose. Number four, and this is the true conversation, have an open discussion. Have an open discussion. Have an open discussion. What kind of discussion? Open. So if you talking only, that's not open, that's closed. If they're talking only and you're not responding, that's not open. An open discussion is when we truly, how can we resolve it? How can we win together? That's an open discussion. That takes effort. And it takes self-control. So you can't react immediately to something if you're going to have an open discussion. You have to wait. You have to ask the question, can we talk about this? I don't want to talk about it. Okay. I would like to talk about it because I think we can do better. But that's how you open it. I would like to talk about it because I think we can do better. If I say it, I'd like to talk about it because I think you need to do better. Those walls and barriers. It may be that this conversation is about them doing better. But when you include yourself into the problem, you're saying to them that they are not standing alone, that they have your support. It makes for them to open up easier because you didn't do it from what appeared to be a judgment setting. I don't know what it is. All of us, we don't like to be judged. But guess what? All of us will be. So that's why the Bible teaches us to judge ourselves. Let me keep on moving. Number five, ground yourself in high consciousness. In other words, as I was stating, don't of the worst. Don't say out your mouth the worst. Don't say the worst outcome scenario. Unless the discussion is opening and you're talking about the goods and the bad, don't go to the dog face. Stay in a high conscious. So that means the reason why you didn't cuss them out, and you can because you know some words, because your mind says, I don't want to be cussed out, so I'm not going to cuss nobody out. I don't want to be put down, so I'm not going to put them down. See, that's part of that win-win, okay? And it's very important that we do that. It's very important that we do that. It's very important that we consider other people's feelings. So in order to stay high-minded, you can't get angry. Now, I know the Bible said anger but sin not, but anger can cloud judgment, okay? So I say don't become mad, because once you are mad, you no longer have full control of your action. A state of madness is a state of lost control. Never lose control. And how do you do this? Men in marriages or in relationship. Here is one thing that you must do in maintaining that is have a exit point. In other words, know yourself, know when you can't take no more. Know when you need to exit the situation before you become physically. Because progress to something that you did not intend, that you do not want. It may cause you to be spend a night in jail, or it may cost you your life, or someone else. So let's be mindful. Let's have an exit point. If the aggression is coming from the other side, you need an exit point. In other words, There's nothing wrong with a proper retreat. You see that this person is not going to maintain control. They're more than up in your face. They're literally almost about to grab you. Then your first exit point is to put an object between the two of you, like a chair, so forth, so that there's a space. And ask, like, they say, hey, would you please just step back a little bit? Make me feel uncomfortable. I realize you're upset, and maybe I caused all of it, maybe I didn't. But if we're going to talk, please, let's keep this space between us. And if the person becomes level-headed, they'll realize their action. And if they don't, it's that point when you say, well, I'm going to excuse myself. And so that means if you have to go in the other room, close the door, put the lock on it. If you have to leave the house, go get in the vehicle, sit there. You ain't got to drive nowhere. Because if you're hurt and you're frustrated, your driving can be impaired. And by all means, if you think that your life is in danger, call 911. Get the police involved. That way there's a third party there. And their first priority is to make sure everyone stays safe. Don't feel ashamed. Do it. It's better safe than dead. Amen. But hopefully you don't get into that problem because you made some right decisions by properly evaluating. You did a cost benefit. You were going for the win-win. And you did your best to have and keep an open discussion. And you grounded yourself in a high consciousness so that you would not become angry. You had an exit strategy, and you took it, if need be. And when the exit strategy is not needed, and you have an open discussion, you can only have a true good open discussion when you have let go of any unresolved issues. In other words, don't compound your circumstance right now. If we were fighting about the remote control, don't fight about the TV dinner. Okay? Stick with the idea of the remote control. Okay? That's just, I know that sounds silly, but that's the two examples I'm giving. Amen. Stick with what just happened. Okay? Because many times we feel the only way to win this argument is to throw all of your bad behavior in the past up at you so I can get you off of me. Because I'm trying to prove that you're a bad person. And so on and so forth. See, that's not a high conscious. That's a low conscious. Because you're literally trying to offend them or shame them into submission. And that is dangerous. So my seventh tip for all of us, even if the person has not been willing for the open discussion, for you, forgiveness is divine. Go of unresolved problem. Here how you do this. You agree to disagree. That's it. If this person is saying all these negative things about you, accept what they're saying. Okay, well, what you're saying concerning me, I just don't see it the way you see it. But that's what you feel. I recognize your feeling, your statement of your feeling. I'm going to agree to disagree because that's not my action nor my intention. And you move forward. These are my seven steps of that. I'm going to open up the lines again and give you all an opportunity to risk that before I go back to my scripture reading. Okay? So the lines are open. Brother Charles, we'll start with you. I see that you're here with us this evening. We haven't heard from you. Would you like to comment at this moment concerning the seven tips or any of these things? Hello? Brother Charles, take yourself off of mute. Okay, we'll come back to Brother Charles, amen, when he unmutes himself. Oh, I just lost him. No, I still got him. Okay. All right. Anyone have a comment? Amen. The lines are open. If you have a comment or question concerning those other four steps I gave, four tips, rather.
Well, Pastor Bonner, I'd just like to say the whole seven altogether. That's why I've been not commenting, is because I like all seven as a whole. So, and especially the last one there, agreeing to disagree is the best one of all.
Yeah, sometimes that's how that sometimes you're left with that. That's your last option to try to keep peace, is to agree to disagree. that is so true. And these steps these tips that I gave, they can be applied in the order that I have given them, but they are in no way seclusive to the order that I gave them. You know, you may have to, after having an open discussion, you may have to reevaluate the problem again, because you may find out more information that you didn't know prior to. And so you may have to reevaluate again whether or not it's something worth pursuing, moving forward, you know. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Anyone else? The lines are open. These conversations are designed to make us think, but it also designed to give you opportunity to share your opinion. I shared mine, and you're welcome to share yours. All right. Well, we're going to move forward. Amen. We're going to come back, and we'll reopen the lines here in about 10 minutes as I read these last final scriptures to conclude this lesson for the evening. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Once again, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Many times as believers, we don't realize the importance of us becoming mature. When people know that you go to church and you're a churchgoer, they know that you love the Lord. Oftentimes, people will look to you for advice, and instruction. But if you're acting the monkey, if you're misbehaving, if you haven't gotten things under control with your body, can't control every situation in your house. So, you know, I'm not saying that you got to have every one of your kids got to be perfect little angels or none of that, because even the saints have kids that get pregnant early, out of wedlock, caught up in drugs and stuff of that nature. And it tries to bring shame to us, the believer. And so we get quiet and we don't say things and we don't talk no more because we're ashamed of what our kids have done or what maybe our spouse have done, those in our household. And so we get quiet. But I'm here to serve notice to you that in itself is the trick of the enemy to make you feel shame. Your children, when they come of age, are responsible for their choices. If you have been an example of holiness for them and righteousness for them, and they have made decisions to do contrary, that's their decision. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to stay there, but that's their decision at the moment. Don't be ashamed, because later on, as they realize that their error and want to come back, they need a solid way to come back. They need someone that's going to welcome them back. They need to be able to feel like the prodigal son, that I'm going back to the place where I knew stability was. And so we have to be there. And we can't allow their actions stop us from being who God wants us to be. And we shouldn't misbehave ourselves, because in this text here, if we're doing wrong and we say we've been saved, it says, you have been believers so long, now that you ought to be teachers, teaching others. So if you've been saved 10 years, 15, 20 years, you've been saved a long time. You need to be teaching somebody. You've been saved 5 years. You need to be teaching some new converts the process. That's why your testimony is important. They need to know, hey, the struggle is natural, but victory is guaranteed when you obey God's word. Victory is guaranteed when you obey God's word. So you've been, and I'm reading a New Living Translation again, and I'm reading now Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. I think we can fit the term backslider in right here. Someone who had once been strong in the faith and strayed away for a period of time, but they're coming back. The way that we get them to come back is we need to reteach them. We need to embrace them, pull them back in. Amen. They made a mistake. Yeah, they knew better. But God didn't take them. So God's not through with them. So let us restore. The Bible says, when we catch a brother in an ought, that's wrong, fault, we that are spiritual restore. So we have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. It's our job to restore. Restore such a one considering ourselves. And so if we consider that, if I had messed up, if I had got lost, if I lost my way, would I not want someone to come and find me? Would I not want someone to come and rescue me? And so your fight may be you see someone who has strayed away from truth. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's telling, make full proof of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelist, the one that goes out and brings in the harvest. Goes out and spread that good news abroad, letting them know that there's hope. When we leave our homes to go to our jobs, to go to the grocery store, the park, we are living, walking epistles of God. We are the word of God being read of men. Because they may not read the Bible, but they are reading you and me. So you and I are being read by people all the time. The question for us is, what then are they reading? Amen, somebody. Amen. And so we want them to be ready. So let me read one more. I'm going to read that again. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teachers of it. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babes who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Let's not be like that. Let's remember that we are mature. So we can't get offended quickly because somebody tell us something that we're not pleased with, we're not comfortable with. They say, well, I think you're this and that. Okay, consider what they said. Even though you might know it's a bold-faced lie, consider why they said, what brought them to that conclusion. See, evaluating situations really help us in learning how to deal with people because sometimes, and that's what I told them about that situation. I said, that young man had been trying to prove himself for so long. Because I listened to the words that he was saying. To everything that he said to her had nothing to do with what happened. So he wasn't really fighting her. He was fighting his past failures. He was fighting all the rejection that he had already received. And sometimes if we don't learn to let go, that's why we're fighting the way we're fighting. And that's why it seems like we're so angry and we can't control temper because we didn't let it go. And that's the prayer. Father, help me to let it go. Amen. One reverb. So let's turn to James. And I'm done after this. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers, and I'm reading again the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I'm going to read that one more time. Verse 2. James. Chapter 1. Verse 2. And this is faith and endurance. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance have a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect. That's the word complete. And complete, finish, needing nothing, need wisdom. Ask your generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. King James Version says in that same verse, for my King James lovers, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Father God, we thank you for this truth on this evening. I thank you for those that have listened. I thank you for this platform, the Blog Talk Radio and the Six Eyes Radio Network on this platform that have allowed us to reach across the world with the gospel truth. We pray, Lord God, for the other programs on this network, that we will continue to go and to do all the things that we need to do. So, Lord, we just thank you right now in your son Jesus' name. We thank you for great programming. I pray a safety, Lord God, as they sleep tonight, Lord God, as maybe some have to go to work, whatever it is that they must do in their life. We pray, Lord God, that you would keep them, Lord God. So we pray this prayer of Psalm 91 over their lives, that you would keep them in your pavilion, Lord God, that you would cover them and keep them safe from unseen hurt, harm, and danger. And as you do it, Lord God, we just want to be mindful to say thank you. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for great programming in the name of Jesus. And we love you, Father God, and we thank you now. Amen and amen. Brother Toph, are you with me now? Are you able to speak? Okay. Amen. Amen. Missionary Ken, I'm opening up your line. If you would give our listeners our information to those that like, to those that have given to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we want to encourage you to continue to do so. We thank you for all support that you have given, financial support that you have given to this program. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to contribute to this program at this time, Missionary Ken is coming with that additional information. And afterwards, we will be dismissed.
Okay. If you wish to contribute and help keep this station on the air and shows just like this on the air, there are two methods you may use. First, for you PayPal users, you go to paypal.com and you enter the email address 6eyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. And for you Cash App users, you enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, it's greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and we know that God will richly bless you. Amen. And if you wish to get this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you can go on your smartphone or tablet, and you enter in your podcast section, Six Eyes Radio, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O, and you hit enter, and then up in the upper right-hand corner, you click subscribe. Again, type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O, hit enter, in the upper right-hand corner, click subscribe, and you'll have this show, the Monday Night Motivational Monday, as well as all other programs here at the Six Eyes Radio at your demand, day or night, right there for your listening pleasure. Also, you could go to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes as well. blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes is another option as well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Very well spoken. Amen. I've still been trying to get it all out. Amen. So thank you very much. Thank you again to all of our listeners. Thank you, each one of you. I appreciate you for being on the program this evening. Here's Kim Burrell. She's going to take us out tonight. God bless you. God keep you.
Lord, I'm in your hands. I know you'll comfort me. It's a little rough at times. Don't know what to do. But Lord, I know you will help me make it through. So good for me. You've been